Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, hello there, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble. You may have remembered me from about 3 weeks ago when we did our World Cup podcast. Now, trouble at Mill. There was a ramble recorded yesterday, and due to various silly reasons about being unable to get a studio of, you know, decent enough quality, and the fact I've had to record on two different recording devices and then mash it all together, and the fact that microphones were bouncing off each other, and I've just had a bit of a hellish day trying to get this audio out. So this is probably going to be the first Football Ramble presented to you in stereo. It's not good stereo, it's not going to sound very good, but it's genuinely the best way to do what we're trying to do, put out a podcast. It will be better next week. It'll have to be better next week. I just wanted to put a little bit of a message at the start of the podcast just to let you know that I'm sorry, and I'm just sorry, all right? Have a lovely evening, or morning, or afternoon. Konnichiwa, konbanwa, ohayo gozaimasu, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, have a lovely time, all right? Enjoy the podcast. Sorry. It'll be better next week.
Ramble back again. Check it to wreck it. Let's begin, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. The party people are here.
Hello.
Yes, that's us. My name's Marcus and Luke's here.
All right.
Pete's knees here.
My party people serial number is 3571.
Ah, but Jim's not here, as is the custom. Not. He's in Edinburgh.
He's off.
So go up there if you want to find him.
Yep.
He's way north of the border.
And he's doing some comedies, but we're here doing Dem Rambles.
Better comedies.
Whoop, there it is.
Yes.
Now then, ladies and gentlemen, it's not been that long since we had your company, of course. We enjoyed the World Cup. So, what was your favourite happening post-World Cup and pre-Football League season? Because the Football League season is underway.
Yes, it is.
Someone told me that just before we came on air.
Well, yeah, but the actual game.
Yeah, I think so.
Do they count? I don't think so. The first thing is it actually happening? Second thing is, can we get away with not covering it? If the answer to that question is no, then you've got to start researching.
We'll see how we get on. Come on then, favourite thing, moment, happening,
you want me
story. Oh, go on, I'll go Pete first. Yeah.
Okay, well, mine's definitely Shola Amiobi joining Turkish second division side Gaziantep.
Yeah, they've got three words in their name, in their full name, and I'd like you to use all of them.
No.
Okay.
Because the place, because it used to be called Tiep or something.
No one will challenge you.
It's the oldest city in Turkey.
Is it? Okay, that's not too bad.
It's got a lot of history.
Ephesus FC.
Gaziantep. It used to be called Antep, I think.
Okay.
And you didn't use his full name, which is future World Cup Hall of Famer.
Shola Amiobi.
Didn't Shola Amiobi successfully lobby his brother to start turning that for Nigeria as well? Because Sammy was going to play for, he was planning on declaring for England. But he obviously popped up a couple of times watching his brother at the World Cup.
Yeah, well,
and I think he's since said he's going to
play. That doesn't qualify you.
Yeah, it does. He just decides.
I've seen him play.
Sammy Amiobi is a talent.
Yeah, I agree.
Who's the other one?
Well,
Tommy.
England's loss is Nigeria's loss.
There are no winners here. No, that's harsh.
He's a very underrated footballer, Sammy Amiobi.
Not underrated by you, is he?
No, never.
Underrated.
There's nothing that can come out of that woman's vagina that I would not.
First show of the season, it's taken how many minutes?
3 minutes in max.
For you to reference the female genitalia.
What's wrong with that?
Wow,
what's right with it?
No, nothing.
Email show at footballramble.com. Luke, what have you got?
I'm taking Mr. Diego Corner.
Yeah, whoa!
Steady.
New season. Do what I want.
Yeah.
Cavalier.
The great man slapped a journalist this week.
He did.
Because the journalist apparently winked at his ex-wife. And if you've not seen that,
yeah,
it's not as good as I've just described.
But it's worth a mention.
It's definitely worth a mention. The reason
did this happen pre-Football League season, though, Luke?
I don't know exactly when it happened. I thought it might happen.
I think it happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
All right, we'll let you have it, though.
I think he's excited because the Football League season started.
You know that when the transfer deadline ends, but then they still get to push a few through because they haven't got that
finished. That's one of them.
I didn't actually put it in for the reason that it actually happened, like it was a slap or it was Diego. But the reason I put it in is because I thought, this has happened on the opening round of the season.
Mm.
You've got to put it in, and it's a sign that it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good season. Going to be a good season.
Married on that high off Kenwyn Jones's performance in the championship.
That's right.
Goes slap happy in Argentina.
He was absolutely surrounded by journalists.
Well, he was doing a red nap. He was in the car.
Yeah, but he'd only have to...
He was through the window and he got out the car and slapped
him. He gets back in the car, I'm thinking, he's still not getting anywhere.
Just in the windows up. At the risk, you can't see him.
At the risk of a court case, was he pissed?
Possibly.
He sounded a little bit slurry and drunky.
Possibly.
Wasn't he speaking in Argentinian?
Spanish.
Yeah.
No, it's not because of that. I'm not thinking, blimey, he's so drunk, I can't understand him. I just think it was the way he was
delivering. My babelfish that I shoved in my ear.
There's so many journalists around. All he had to do was waft his hand in one direction, he would have hit someone. That's his defence.
That's very likely. He got out of the car and went over to the journalist.
Yeah.
And then gave him just a little one.
He made an appointment to slap him. But I think Maradona is a man who's gone through a large part of his life being able to slap whoever he wants, whenever he wants.
Yeah.
What do you expect from him?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you were hoping for new material this season, Shola Rabiomi and Diego Maradona has kicked off.
Which brings me on to my supplementary point of a highlight for the gap between the World Cup and the pre-season. Yeah. David Nugent laying everyone to waste in pre-season. His pre-season has been electric.
That goal he scored with the outside of the boot. Outside of the right boot, but coming in from the right. It's such a difficult skill to do.
Yeah. When I realised how good a pre-season David Nugent has been having, I wrote some notes ready for this show. I'll just read them back to you. His pre-season has been electric, his ability is not in question, and he's ready to set the Premier League alight, starting against the team he supports, Everton, this weekend.
Yes.
I like to think that you wrote that on a train, sat back, gazed out the window and said yes. I've said all I needed to say.
Sat opposite David Nugent.
Job done.
The Premier League's back. Lukey Moore's back.
I did not think that at any stage.
Yes, you did.
I'll leave that for other people to think.
Talking of new material, my favourite thing that happened was Harve Renard being appointed Ivory Coast manager.
Yeah, yes. he's gone back to his the continent of his most glorious past.
Well, my goodness, they're a side who have disappointed in not winning a trophy, i.e. the African Cup of Nations. Get the man in who knows how to do it.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously coming to the end of that sort of thing that people who know about football call a cycle, where they have players going.
I think it's the beginning of a new one now.
Exactly, that's why you get Renard in there, to start a new cycle.
Well, Drogba's retired from international football recently. He said it's because he didn't have the trust. He didn't have the trust that he had before. And I can just imagine... I can imagine Renard going, no, Didier, it's not a question. It is a question of trust, Alf. It is a question of trust. Therefore, I'm off to London.
Yeah,
he'll definitely come back. I wouldn't want to play under Harve Renard.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed. Or operate under him in some sort of way, anyway. I think Luke's got the points for David Nugent.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I have two answers, which is a little bit cheeky, but...
That's fine. That's fine.
New season. Well, danger.
It's kind of... Maybe that was for Jim, so maybe Jim's got the points. I don't know.
I'm taking it.
What about Gerald Piqué letting off a stink bomb on the plane to Finland?
I haven't heard about that.
Barcelona recently played... Because, obviously, they kick off a little bit later, La Liga. They went to Finland for a pre-season friendly and Gerard Piqué let off a stink bomb at the back of the plane. Everyone was just like that. Nice one, dickhead.
What are we going to do, Gerard? Open the window?
Well, the image of Piqué in a joke shop makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Really?
It's kind of what joke shops are planning to do, I suppose. Just Piqué just sneaking into a joke shop. Oh, I'll have one of them.
Yeah.
I'll have some soap that makes your face black. I'll have some chewing gum that hurts your hands when you try and grab one.
Soap sweets.
Hot sweets.
In the article it said, oh, he's a bit of a known prankster, right? and it gave two of the crappiest examples. One was, oh, Carlos Puyol rumbled him when he was throwing like sunflower seeds at the team bus. Oh, well, bloody hell.
The worst hooliganism of the 80s.
That was a prank, apparently.
Yeah.
And then the other one was when his partner Shakira was pregnant, he prematurely announced the birth of their son. And he's like, nah, it's a joke, he's not really bored. And I'm like, oh, boy, this guy sounds like a hoot.
Yeah, he's left a stink bomb in the delivery room. Clouding the horrible things what happens when you have a baby.
Yes, anyway, enough of that nonsense.
Shakira, we think, is she got a partner from a joke shop.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. There's probably a lot of puns in there, but we'll avoid them for everybody's sake.
Fartalona.
No!
the stink bomb... Pique kid is interest.
It's spelt the same.
It works.
Feel free to edit that out. The Community Shield.
Yes.
The curtain raiser for England's top flight.
The David Moyes Memorial Cup.
It was won by Arsenal.
In some fashion.
It really was, wasn't it?
Marcus.
My goodness. Cazorla scored a goal. Ramsey scored a goal. And Giroud, he scored a deflected one. But straight to Ramsey's first touch for his goal.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was such composure in the box.
Delightful.
And confidence. But the thing is, I thought the defenders should have cleared them out. Took the ball and the defender, and the player, because the player, Ramsey, he had so much time to do that. Mm. I mean, you could see why he wanted to try it, and it obviously came off. But is it Boyata who was defending it? I can't remember.
Quite possibly.
Anyway, but they should have just cleared it all out.
I actually thought it was a deflection the first time I saw it.
Ramsey's one.
It was a lovely touch. It's great for Arsenal fans that he started off again, because obviously had a great season before injury. Rumbled him last term, so it'd be good to see
sort of, where they left off against Benfica.
Blimey, raking in the trophies, aren't they? although they lost to Monaco though in their pre-season
doesn't
ones,
Arsenal doesn't. Want to win a trophy every week,
that's what he said.
It's a bit ambitious.
It is a bit ambitious, but maybe they can set up enough mini tournaments to make it happen.
They got taken apart against Monaco. Callum Chambers at centre back anointed well in the charity shield
community,
or whatever it's bloody called now. I'm utterly unconvinced by that man. Falcao will take apart a lot of.
See, yeah, to
good,
be fair,
very good
player. 19-year-old lad. Yeah.
Well, Falcao must have been salivating when he saw it.
Oh, what, a lad who doesn't always play centre back. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
How old is he? 19.
Yeah.
Yummy.
I am going to clip that particular sentence. How old is he? 19. Yummy.
Oh dear. Look forward to that, ladies and gentlemen.
You out front now, you see a defender. How old is he? 19. Oh, for God's sake.
That's right.
They run all day.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
In the world of professional football, being young is actually quite a bad thing. Whereas when we play football, it's like, they're so young.
Yeah, because fitness shouldn't really be an issue.
Names.
Yeah.
They probably can remember stuff. Yeah. Rules.
Actually, laws, so the joke's on you.
But it wasn't the strongest Manchester City size.
No.
But then I suppose you could argue it perhaps wasn't the strongest Arsenal one, but they certainly went for it. And they looked good, Arsenal. And Alexis Sanchez just...
It was like
duck to water.
when he first got announced, I thought, do they really need another pace merchant at the Emirates?
But it's interesting because obviously Arsenal look much further along in their pre-season preparation than Man City do. Now, of course, Man City had maybe a few more players who weren't available because of the comeback late and all that sort of stuff. But Arsenal look like...
But they three were, Germans weren't there for
indeed.
Arsenal.
Yeah, that's true, that's fair. But Arsenal look like they're ready to start the season.
Oh, yeah.
Think back to last season. Of course, they lost to Villa at home on the opening day.
Yeah.
But apart from that...
But they then kicked on, though.
They went a massive run. They only lost one game until the middle of December or something after that. But Man City actually lost four of their first 11 Premier League games.
Yeah.
And then they went on their run. So Man City started slowly under Pellegrini last season, but they still won the league. So... It's
a weird one last year, though, to be fair. They kind of won by default to a certain extent.
Because I think City basically won the title, but I think only losing two games, their last 24 or something like Premier League games in total, at the end of the season. Mm. So that's how they sort of really came into their own, whereas Arsenal were at the top of the table for a long time, but obviously not when it counted.
Sure.
It's a marathon, not a sprint, Luke.
It is, and it was interesting to see that game bear that out, because Arsenal looked twice the team Man City did. You know, Man City looked all over the place.
But it's one of those, isn't it, with the Community Shield, that... people say it can
get goals, weirdly enough. Like, yeah, you didn't used to. Like, it seemed just like people seem to go for it.
Well, yeah. Well, you can say that, oh, it doesn't really matter, or on the other side, well, it gets everybody in a good mood. You've been up the steps at Wembley. You've had your hand on some silverware.
You'd definitely rather wouldn't than not.
Well, obviously, yeah.
So I don't understand why people get, oh, it's only a friendly sort of thing. Well, I think, yeah, great stuff if you can win it.
But that's what you say if you lose.
Yeah, indeed.
I think that's
Did you guys see that, like, 3 or 4 minutes from the end, Fernandes fall over in the middle of the pitch?
I didn't see that.
It was about, the game was already lost. I think it was about 87 minutes gone. And he got the ball just inside the Arsenal half. No one around him. Took one touch and sort of went under his foot. Tried to take another one, kicked his other foot and just fell over and scrambled to his feet and passed it short. It's really odd.
He was trying something else, eh?
No one seems to make any mention of it, but it's interesting.
Yeah, very interesting by the
sound. That's what we've got to look forward to for Fernando, and then bring it on.
Yeah, absolutely. Wenger is he's in very good spirits, isn't he? As you said,
he's really bored, isn't it?
Yeah,
hope springs eternal.
Are they top on alphabetical order or something? Yeah, certainly near it, anyway. Yeah. But he does, though. He's casting a different figure than he has previously. He's brought in,
he's able to spend money now. Like, this is like the first year where they've stopped basically paying for the stadium and just thought, right, we're paying a bit of money.
As a resident of North London around that area, how do you feel the mood of the general populace is?
There's a lot of split scarf sellers. Those scarves that have the split. I never understand
Who they're playing.
Yeah. They have, like, special kind of, like, scarves. There seems to be a lot more of them around.
Souvenir for a nice day out.
Fewer pulled pork stands.
Okay. Is that right?
I've noticed they've opened the Arsenal. They've got, like, an Arsenal museum where you can go in and buy stuff that's just on the corner of, like, one of the houses just off Blackstock Road. I've noticed they opened that a lot more.
Right.
Other than that...
Will you keep us posted? Yeah. Field, books on the ground?
Well, I'm there for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, OK. Be gone,
so, that's right. There you are, you see. Those who don't live in North London will have appreciated that.
No, I don't live in North London. I did very much appreciate it.
Yes.
Good to see the vanishing spray.
Well, I was about to say. So let's get to the real issues.
All of our tennis shoes. Our boots.
Phil Neville said shoes.
Well, you get the golden shoe, don't you? If you're the best player in the world.
I think we should call it the imaginary spray in honour of Phil Neville.
Yeah? Is that what he calls it? Yeah. I quite like the vanishing spray.
Conceptual spray.
The phantom spray, if you will.
Disappearing spray.
Well, that's as well. Willy Caballero started for Man City. He was, of course, the goalkeeper that halted Atleti's title-winning bid on the second-to-last game of the season in La Liga. Yeah. I believe he was... remember when that wonderful goalkeeping display, and then Atleti, of course, had to go to the Nou Camp to get a point.
Which they did.
So, as a lot of people making...
So the joke's on Caballero, really.
Yeah, exactly.
What you've done there, Caballero. You might think you're a big man, but you just deny the inevitable.
But then he made it better for the viewer.
He did.
Which is what we are, so actually we should thank him.
Yeah,
you know? but Caballero, he started in goal for Man City.
Nice
triple
egg. Had like a dinosaur egg.
Is he going to be replacing Hart all season?
Well, this is it, Pete. This is what I was.
A terrible debut.
Apparently, Hart wasn't ready.
Wasn't ready.
No, he's been away.
Still got shampoo in his eyes.
Yeah, he probably is.
Not ready.
It's funny though, isn't it? When
I'm not ready to burst out of my box and make a bad decision.
Do you reckon that Caballero saw that Joe Hart had shampoo in his eyes, went over to the boss, just said, "Look, well, there's no chance of me getting shampoo in my eyes." Pointed to his own bald head and said, "Get me in the team."
He went,
and Pellegrini went, "All right then."
He went, to be quite frank,
if that's how it works, that's frightening.
To be quite frank, Pellegrini, I mean, he's been watching Neuer all close season, so if anything, Hart's going to be rushing out on more and more occasion during the season. So just, you know. I think I'm a safer pair of hands, or dear, I've just let in 3 goals.
And I think that Joe Hart also likes to administer puns when he's dropped from the team and go, "Oh no, Gaffer, you've broken my heart."
Why would he try that?
And impress him, to make him like he's an entertainer and get himself back in the team.
I thought we were in gloves.
Oh, God. Sorry, everybody. But
lovely,
do you think
it was just banter?
It's just banter.
She and I enjoyed some banter.
Yeah, as I said, no new ideas are seen. No, like, Jim's got a silly ground.
Oi!
What?
That's it.
That's it. Oi! That's your limit.
Go on.
Do you imagine? I was about to say, we did think about some new ideas, but that's not really true.
No. No, we really didn't. No. We had a round robin email that had 3 entries into it. It wasn't even a Google chat done.
No.
That's how disinterested we are.
All the kids are using WhatsApp.
Are they?
No. But do you think it's better for a side to have two keepers that are vying for that first position.
Well, I can certainly see the rationale behind it, because you're challenging on a number of fronts. Mm. So,
and Hart didn't have a good season last season.
He was dropped for part of it.
Well, he did okay. He came back. Yeah. He didn't have a brilliant season.
He didn't have that much competition first half. And I think
if he was playing to the level of, say, Manuel Neuer, he's never going to be dropped, is he?
No.
Of course he bounced back, but he was still dropped in the first place. And you wonder whether Pellegrini actually does fancy him. But I can understand the idea of bringing another goalkeeper in for a couple of reasons. One is because you're challenging on a number of different fronts. Of course, you're at the Champions League. It's very arduous around that part of the season when you have to play Tuesday or Wednesday and then Saturday and Sunday every week or whatever it is. You've got cup games as well. Mm. And not only that, then it's better to have another good player pushing you. To know that if you're not going to be at the top of your game, you're actually going to be dropping it. Probably the rationale would be that it increases your first choice goalkeeper's performance. Great example of that is what Jim used to say about Alex Song. Never anyone pushing him in the Arsenal midfield. So his performance has just dropped off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it definitely makes sense from that point of view. Providing the goalkeeper's happy to sit on the bench.
Hart's also a very strong personality in that dressing room. He's a blooming loud man.
I often think that the best example, I've said this before on the show a while back, the best example of a second choice goalkeeper would either be a really hungry up and coming young keeper who's really talented but who knows that he needs to learn his trade,
or Stephen Harper
or an old timer who can just use the experience.
Mike Hooper.
That's my thoughts on the matter.
Yeah, no, fair enough. City have got Frank Lampard on loan.
Yeah, that's an odd one.
Do you think?
That's one of those transfers I need time to get used to.
It will be really strange to see him.
It's like he just watched his Chelsea kit a bit hot.
It's a bit like seeing. It's a bit like seeing the guy who, you know, works in the coffee shop you go in every day for the last 12 years, suddenly seeing him picking you up in a taxi.
But genuinely,
got a new job. I don't like it.
Yeah, I prefer a counter in between you and me.
The first 4 or 5 months of the season, I think emotionally, psychologically, I think that might prey on Chelsea's mind a little bit, because it's going to be weird. He's a big.
What's Jose going to say?
Well, I don't know.
What can he say?
Can't say anything.
No,
don't let him go.
Yeah,
pay him some money and he can stay.
He said that he's not going to play in the Chelsea games.
That's poor.
He was just like, nah, I'm not going to do it, or something like that.
I think that's disrespect for the people who are playing penny wages, quite frankly.
It's a thin end of the wedge.
I find it, not funny, obviously. We wouldn't want to see an injury.
I once had a lovely time in North London, so I'm not going to play against Arsenal either.
Yeah.
But imagine, it's a thin end of the wedge. You should be able to get away with it.
That's not what Sam Nasri said.
But
it would be strange if Manchester City had an injury crisis and they were really down to the bare bones and he needed to play when they played Chelsea. You know, what would happen?
And they got a pen last minute.
Yeah, what would he do, Pete?
I don't know.
He would score because he's a professional.
Well, he's good at penalties as well.
Yeah, we would try and score anyway. Maybe Caballero or Hart would. It would be the other end, wouldn't it? See what I mean?
Move on.
Scott Sinclair, he's still at City. It was a strange one when he came on. I thought,
Yeah. It's a shame.
And it shouldn't be like that.
Jack Rodwell's taken the hint, hasn't he?
He has.
And finally got the fuck out of Dodge. Scott Sinclair is like, I'm still here. I am still here.
That could be a really good move for him.
Rodwell. Absolutely, yeah. I think it's slotting nicely there. I think it's a great move, yeah.
Yeah, especially,
Something. I mean, he says he wants to be the new Steven Gerrard for England.
Do you reckon Scott Sinclair goes?
Play a game first.
Scott Sinclair says, I used to play for Chelsea. I don't want to play in the game against them. Don't worry about that. Not a problem.
Chelsea, no, it's fine. We don't mind if you want to make yourself available. It's fine. Absolutely fine. Manchester City, they're very close to, or may well have signed Mangala from Porto. They have.
But they signed like ages ago, like.
Yeah, it was one of those.
Pellegrini let it slip, didn't he? He listed it in the players they signed, and I think everyone was like, what? And he was like, oh, nothing.
We've signed Lampard as well. You have what?
I mean, that's, what was it, 32?
Yeah.
Like 32 million?
That automatically puts him in, like, the kind of Alves, kind of Nesta kind of bracket for the amount of money you got.
Completely.
For, like, you know.
Absolutely.
Leo Ferdinand kind of.
Which is a 23-year-old French centre-back. You play on the left side.
It's a lot of money.
Three French caps.
He was in the France squad, but he didn't play.
That's right.
He played in the World Cup for 32 million. I find that very. I don't care if you are Manchester City, that is overpaying.
They're just putting a figure out of the air. They want the player.
Yeah.
Porto don't necessarily have to sell him.
No.
Yeah.
And so they just say, well, this is the money we want for him. And Man City will go, all right then. What difference is it between Man United and Man City? Sorry, playing 22 million or 32 million.
Both of your points are right.
I just don't think he's a 32 million.
No, of course
defender.
He isn't.
Not many defenders are 32 million.
But this is the problem when your club becomes
there's
incredibly.
There's no value in the market.
That's what Ferguson used to say.
There's no value.
When the Glazers didn't want him to buy anyone.
Yeah.
There's no value in the market. There's loads of players.
But that's the trouble.
Is
when
he as good as Carvalho? No.
When, buy him when your club becomes filthy rich. Yeah. We saw this. One of the first examples in kind of Chelsea's reign was, I think it was Essien. Very good. It was Michael Essien. It might not be one of the first ones, but it's certainly one I can very much remember. And Chelsea made it very obvious that they really wanted this player. And so the French side in question just were like, yeah, fine, absolutely. Yeah, more. And he went for a huge fee, you know. But they wanted him. Yeah, exactly. They wanted him and they got him, but that's the trouble.
Sensible world of soccer, a video game used to have two hands.
That's right, yeah.
And your hand would go across. If you wanted to help out the other manager, your hand would go further across the table, I think.
Yeah, but they also used to do one where they would say, "Ask for more."
I think
more.
I referenced this one.
Did it too many times.
Yeah, they withdraw.
Yeah, drop out. Yeah,
yeah. I think I referenced. Yeah, you'd be very cheeky.
And you get completely locked out. It's like, oh, crumbs.
But yeah, but good to see Rodwell going to be playing at Sunderland.
I think he'll do well.
He's a decent player, Rod. But you don't want to see, especially.
We don't know that now. But young, used to be.
Well, yeah, exactly. But hopefully, he can get back to the promise he showed at Everton. I mean, you think to yourself, like, oh, imagine if you were still at Everton. You know, footballing education you'd be getting there.
But they've got Barry and McCarthy in there now.
True. I mean, it's pointless to say you can't predict football. You know, where this player ends up manager goes.
He'll back himself. We talked about this before.
Well, he certainly is. If he's saying he's the new Gerrard, yeah, or he wants to be.
That's what. Well, I think you should aspire to be that if you're.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Maybe win a bit more international level, but apart from that.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but I was going to say to you, it's interesting when players back themselves.
All over the place.
We talked about, what's his name, Scott Parker, when he went to Chelsea. That's crazy, because he was never going to get the team. Obviously, he backed himself. And there was a really interesting programme about Michael Owen and his career on Sky Sports the other week. And talked about him going to Real Madrid.
Yes.
And he said he was very happy at Liverpool at the time, but he didn't really think he could live with himself if Real Madrid came knocking and he didn't answer. And then he had a little interview with Jamie Carragher, who said to him apparently at the time, they've got Ronaldo.
Yeah,
you're not going to play.
That's right.
Don't go. And Owen looked at Carragher like he was crazy, like, what do you mean?
Yeah,
I'll play. I'll get in the team. Yeah, like, he was so confident.
Yeah, of course.
And that's what makes a professional.
He didn't get in the team.
Yeah,
well, he played a bit here and there. He scored some goals.
He had a very good goal record.
Yeah, he did. But the point
is, you do sort of think that if he did play, he might have done. You know, might have pulled up some training.
And in that season, he left Champions League glory came to Merseyside.
Exactly.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. You cannot predict, ladies and gentlemen.
Players get to that level because they're so confident. That's
right. That's absolutely right. Well, before we move on to the Championship, let's talk a bit more about the Premier League. And well, it's not directly Premier League, but it's a man who's featured heavily in the league. Howard Webb, he's hung up his whistle.
Yes. An incredible penalty he scored. Did he say that?
Howard Webb.
He scored a brilliant penalty.
Was that a testimonial?
Yeah.
We talked about it before.
Well, certainly wasn't in a league game.
It was only a couple of weeks ago.
You have to go, Howard. You're drunk on power. You can't take the penalty.
He got knocked over in the Spurs match, didn't he, by... is it De Jong? I can't remember now.
Was it not Lewis Holtby?
Holtby, right, yeah.
Similar to De Jong.
He took a great penalty. I can't remember. I don't know. I'm sure we talked about it at the time. No, it was only a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it? And he dinked it top right.
That was a good pen. I've seen it.
One of those videos that goes round on Facebook, and you go, "Oh, I've never seen that before. That has just happened."
Are you suggesting that's why he's retired? I'm done.
He retired.
Howard Webb deserves a lot of respect, as I said at the time on Twitter.
He's always been my favourite referee.
I like the way
he calms down the situation. Very, you know, I also mentioned, because he used to be a policeman and stuff, he's very kind of regal and calm and stoic, and he just kind of just lets people get on
and
with
a notable leg.
With
that bald head of his.
I think that he deserves a lot of credit for getting to the very top of his game. If you start out as a referee, presumably you won the referee of the World Cup final, and he achieved that, and of course he got a bit of criticism for it, but he had no choice in how he refereed it, in my opinion. I said that at the time. So good luck to him.
Yeah,
more power to his elbow. Why do they hang up their whistle? Has he hung up his cards?
That's just what I use there.
What do you hang up?
That would be whistle, wouldn't it? You can't hang up a card.
He hangs up boots as well.
I've heard you've got to go down a special canal.
No, because...
And you've got to throw your red card and yellow card
into the canal.
Yeah. Symbolic.
I quite like that. But a goalkeeper hangs up his gloves.
That's true, very true, yeah.
Do they even hang them up anywhere?
Boots, they used to, on the pegs, yeah. I never stood
gloves.
There. Not gloves.
Well, hang up your gloves.
Maybe.
You don't hang up your gloves. I'm not having that. You put, no. them, on, you put them on the seat.
Yeah. Get in touch.
Any professional or semi-professional goalkeepers who have ended their careers.
Howard Webb's handling his stern talking to.
He's handling his Man United kit.
He's hung up his well-judged advantage.
Yeah.
You were the ref.
Yeah.
His book. That would be a great autobiography for Howard Webb.
I was the ref.
Yeah.
But he's been appointed technical director
of
the official referees association.
I were the ref.
Oh dear. But what about his team, Manchester United? No need for that. They brought in Luke Shaw, obviously. They paid a whopping fee.
Not fit enough.
There's your 32 million or whatever. He's in that bracket, isn't
that
he?
That is why.
Not fit enough.
Luke Shaw and the other training ground thing, which is what I mentioned briefly. If we haven't, then it's just me and you talking about it.
Yeah.
I was recording it. about Van Gaal is why Van Gaal's going to be brilliant. Because Van Gaal doesn't care that Luke Shaw's just coming as a marquee signing.
This was when he was at the. This was during the World Cup, wasn't it, or something, that he said that he wasn't happy with Manchester United's training ground and he wanted new grass or something.
Yeah, it cost like £3 million.
Yep.
And then when Luke Shaw came in as a big marquee signing for a load of money, he made a train on his own. You're not fit enough.
No player is bigger than the club.
He's using no player's bigger than him.
Yeah, well, no club is bigger than Van Gaal.
It's just kind of like I think he's just using him to set an example. Bring him in, go.
Yeah.
Look, this is how I'm going to treat every new signing. So, if you want to sign for Manchester United, prepare your ego, all right?
Yeah.
Leave it at the bloody door.
To get a good pair of hairy bollocks right in your face.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Alex Ferguson. No player was bigger than Alex Ferguson.
I like that Van Gaal just didn't seem. I mean, of course he is bothered. And I'm sure he's very proud secretly, inwardly, to manage Man United, but he didn't show that.
No.
I love about Van Gaal is the English press think the Premier League is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and the fact, do you think you'll cut it in the English Premier League and all this? And he just doesn't care. He's like, I've been a success everywhere else. I've managed Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
I've managed Barcelona.
Yeah.
I just took the Dutch to the semi-final. What are you talking about?
Yeah. On that note,
but this is the Premier League, though. this is football.
Yeah. Have you noticed that Sky Sports have changed their tag thing from the? You know, they do those advert. What are they called? Those ident adverts where they're basically advertising themselves. So
yes.
Get ready for the new season.
Yeah, this summer
it used to be Martin Tyler saying the greatest league in the world or whatever.
Yeah,
that was
the
start of last season.
Right.
Well, this season it isn't Martin Tyler. It's another commentator, and you can still hear it. They're on telly now. And I think it's when Liverpool score an amazing goal, whatever. And it said the guy says, "Welcome back to the most envied league in the world." They've changed it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's the most envied officially.
What?
So it's gone from the greatest league the world has ever known to the most exciting league in the world to the most envied league.
That's worse. I'd rather it be exciting or the best league in the world than the most envied. That's so smug. Oh dear. Anyway, but yeah, they brought in.
Why would you envy it?
Yeah.
I understand. You can watch it if you want.
Only a sentient league could envy it. Yeah. It's like, that bloody Premier League. Yeah.
3 points for a win.
Loads more goals per game than us.
Yeah. Oh dear.
But envy it.
Ander Herrera, he's gone there.
Yeah.
At last. At last.
He looks a player. He has no reason to be envious.
No, he looks a player. He does look a player.
It's a bit annoying. If I was Moyes sitting home, because I would be sat home because I'm doing Moyes, I'd be a bit annoyed. It's like, I didn't get any players brought. I wasn't allowed to sign any players. That's not allowed.
Fellaini.
I was about to say.
Until the last second.
Yeah.
At which point I chose Fellaini. Good point. Thank you, bye. Further questions.
Did you say
you called us?
Did you watch the World Cup? No. What? Yeah. I thought it was next year. Oh.
Yeah. Oh dear. But they've had a very good pre-season. Manchester United.
Very strong. A completely different team.
Yeah, that's because they are.
Well, the manager, but the manager's getting performances out of players who look to Fellaini aside.
Yeah.
Who look to have had their chips at United.
Yeah.
They were going to be moving on. You know, and he's still. It just shows the power of a great manager.
It really does. The air of sort of confidence and the feeling around the club is Manchester United are back, ladies and gentlemen.
But again, I find that annoying. There's no professional pride in the players that underperformed last season.
True.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
I don't respect the manager, so I'm not going to play football.
It's a bit weird that a lot of the Man United players are effectively saying to everyone who watches football, if we can get away with it, we won't bother trying.
Yeah.
But now we know we can't get away with it, I think we'll try again.
Yeah.
Because there's a threat of bollocks on on the horizon.
Yeah. Maybe that would make me not try, so I can see it.
Gets to December. Oh, there they are. Right, we start now.
Listen, they're rumbling everywhere. You're always talking about them.
Hey!
Stop celebrating the thing that didn't happen, man. Yay, Manchester United flares that they didn't.
It was more of a punchline way.
It hasn't happened yet, but you don't know. When the show's actually released, it's not happened. I was going to say, when Ferguson got United to the league title in his last season, a lot of the general consensus seemed to be that Ferguson was worse, sort of 10 or 12 points. He was so good.
Yes.
But you can see Van Gaal having it, not a big effect as that. But he's certainly going to get more out of those players than Moyes did, which means they'll be a factor this season. There's no way they're going to be as bad. They won't have European football either, so they're going to be a lot fresher.
Well, as soon as Van Gaal came in and he was talking about back three and all this kind of stuff, I thought, now we're talking. This is the stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of...
tactically, Van Gaal's all over, isn't he?
Yeah.
How are Man United going to set up this season and who's going to play where? You don't know. Under Moyes, it was so predictable.
But he
blooming well knows. Well, you'd hope so.
Has your man, your Bezzy pal Sven, had a go at him? I read that.
No, it's the other way around. Sven's not having a go at anybody.
I saw Sven get mentioned with Capello and Van Gaal.
Sven did get a mention.
Svention.
Well, after good wins over Liverpool...
One day we're going to have an intervention with Marcus.
Nice. I was just going to make the point of good wins over Liverpool, Real Madrid, Roma and the LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
I was at that game.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah.
In the Galaxy, yeah. Yeah. In the Galaxy.
In the Galaxy.
The Rose Bowl. Very strange stadium, Rose Bowl.
It's a strange atmosphere, isn't it, at LA Galaxy?
No, this was at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, sorry.
So,
the Home Depot Centre.
The World Cup final stadium.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
It's strange because it's kind of like a college stadium.
It's odd to think
a World Cup final was played there.
Yeah, because I think the Rose Bowl they sell vintage clothes like every few weeks.
Oh, do they?
Vintage clothes like festivals and stuff.
Oh,
it's
right.
It's not a stadium befitting that occasion, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a good stadium. It's great to be there, but it just. Having been to a couple of stadiums that have hosted World Cup finals, I don't know. It just seemed like a college stadium rather than a stadium that would belong to a professional club or a football association. I suppose.
Watching Americans watch soccer, certainly in the MLS, I've done it once, and it's just like, wow, this is a completely different atmosphere to anywhere I've been in the world.
But I liked it though.
Yeah,
I did like it.
Community feel.
What I didn't like was the disorganisation on going in. We had to park. Everyone was parking on a nearby golf course.
Right.
To get in.
What was the attendance?
That's
85,000.
Wow.
It's going to ruin it. I feel sorry for the golfers.
Yeah.
Sorry for them golfers. But anyway, back to something that makes sense. They've had a good pre-season. But yes, going back, that's right, Sven. Van Gaal, he had a sly dig at Sven in a way. Because apparently Sven was... he wasn't told this. He thought he was too old to learn to drive on the left.
When he came to England. You are just thinking of more and more creative ways to get... What
to
sort
Sven
of fact is that?
Well, no, hang on. That's...
Did you know when Sven Göransson became England manager, he thought he was too old to drive on the left? I don't care.
That's not... When you mentioned that we were going to be talking about him that, not being a... I didn't realise. I thought Van Gaal had said...
No.
Or Sven had slagged off Van Gaal saying that he was too...
No.
It's basically an anecdote from about 15 years ago. About Sven Göransson.
He doesn't know any of it.
Are you going to let me?
He's not even going to drive himself anywhere, Marcus.
Well, the funny thing is, though, I do agree with you, but that's how the papers reported it. Oh, he's having a go at Sven. They're worse than me.
Yeah.
I'm giving you what are in the papers, people. I'm giving you what's in the papers.
Let's get it over here.
So Van Gaal said of the driving, he said, I'll drive myself to the training ground. I've already driven in England in 1996 in a brand new Mercedes 600 SL.
I love that.
He said, this is superb. Driving is only a problem when it is late and there are no other cars there. Otherwise, you can just follow the car in front of you.
We understand what driving is, Louis.
Yeah. That's an absolute nightmare. Imagine that.
Driving entails.
Imagine that if you got out of your car. And it's like, are you Louis Van Gaal? Yeah. Why are you at my house? Well, I followed you.
Why have you got your balls out?
Why did you think I'd go where you want to go?
And is that Sven Göransson tied up in the boot?
Yeah. So there we go. There we go.
Tied to the back.
Is that him running?
He's not fit enough. Yeah. Well, he's now.
Yeah. Well, we very much look forward to all that. There's lots of talk of Kagawa, whether he'll feature. He thinks he could get in there. With Manchester United, they've got a number of non-wide midfielding options. Right. Haven't they? I mean, obviously you've got Juan Mata in there. So if he's going to play
a 3-5... team at number 10, I did have.
Yeah. If they're going to play 3-5-2, then you'd imagine he can fit Rooney and Van Persie in there. Or will he play Welbeck and... Van Persie, Rooney behind, Mata in there, Kagawa.
I think they're going to be good this season. I think United.
I think Van Persie's going to be a revolution.
Better than they were.
I think he's going to be. Well, he can't have a worse season than last season. I don't think.
Well, yeah. Can't they come eighth or ninth or tenth or 11th?
Yes.
Let me finish. Or 12th or 13th or 14th.
Please stop.
Or 15th
or 16th or 17th or 18th.
Why don't you stop one before the end?
Or 19th.
Just claim a little bit of self-respect there.
Yeah.
Or 20th. You can't even cut that because it won't make sense.
No. What about Chelsea?
What about Chelsea?
What about... I thought it was like Michael Jackson.
No. Drogba's back. Yeah. I thought he was getting the band back, but Lampard's gone.
Drogba's also become injured straight away.
I just like the problem they had was that they've got too many foreign players and they need some...
They need to
get rid of a couple because of the homegrown under-21.
Because of who you voted for in the EU elections. Is that your problem?
I like the idea of Drogba. I like the idea of Mourinho really battling with the board for Drogba and then going, he's too old, he's going to get injured.
He's too old, he's not worth the money, and also, by the laws of the game, or rules, whatever Luke Moore thinks it is...
They're laws.
He has to get rid of a couple of foreign players, because otherwise
there's like a bit now a situation where Mourinho's going to have to pretend that Drogba isn't injured to save face with the ball. Drogba's going to play, whatever happens.
Yeah, you're going to come on to feet. Yeah. Play it to feet. Yeah. Or to chest, even. He's an ankle's done.
To be fair, though, I mean, I think Drogba's one of the few players at Chelsea who know how to play that sort of through the middle, one man up top kind of game that Mourinho likes playing. So, if nothing else, as an advisory role,
yes,
just explain to Fernando Torres what the hell's going on. Maybe, I don't know. Just, sort of saying,
just talking him through the game.
Lukaku's thinking, I'm bloody pleased I left.
Yeah.
But again, that seems about really weird because he would have counted as a homegrown player inexplicably, even though he's Belgian. Okay. And he's 21, so he would still have counted.
That's why they
might be having to get rid of Petr because he's over 21 and he's foreign. It just seems bizarre that they're suddenly getting rid of
Fabregas. Isn't counted because he learned his trade.
Because of his time at Arsenal.
Yeah. So he's not counted.
He's not counted.
Right.
He's not counted as a foreign.
I mean, Diego Costa, Fabregas and Felipe Luis, I mean, they've done
Chelsea obviously performed quite well last season. The cynic in me thinks that Mourinho didn't want to win the Premier League without with a team that wasn't his, and also Chelsea didn't score an awful lot of goals compared to Man City and Liverpool, so I mean, with Drogba in, if he can stay fit and contribute, Diego Costa of course needs to have a season that he had last season, but I mean that's not necessarily going to happen. I mean, we've seen plenty of players who've come to the Premier League with big reputations and not been able to do it, and he's also had big injury problems, as we've seen. So it's not necessarily a done thing. I mean, I think Chelsea are favourites to win the Premier League in the betting and stuff. But there's still a few uncertainties, I think, around.
Like just letting Lukaku go is weird. Like not returning Demba Ba. Like they're both players who could easily do.
I think Ba. I don't think Ba's good enough, personally.
He was good in the cups.
Getting Costa in there. He's got Costa in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think Lukaku clearly, from what Mourinho's saying, they don't get on really, right. And Lukaku wants first team football.
But isn't that kind of like, I'm a little bit tired of that argument. I'm a little tired of grown men going, we can't work together. It's your job. It's what you put. We come in separate limos. It's like, if you can't get on with a player, like, well, what are you doing? Do what you're doing.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
A 21-year-old is usually an idiot.
But if Lukaku's saying, I want to play first team football, which is understandable, he's obviously good enough to do that for most of the clubs in the league. And Mourinho said, well, actually, I might play just the one up front. We've got this lad Diego Costa in.
This lad.
You know.
Don't know him. Not earlier.
He had a good season last year. We've bought him for 30-odd million again. No market value.
But Lukaku's rights to say, look, I'm not going to play. You're going to keep signing.
Exactly.
Players,
and he might be in Mourinho's ear, and you know what Mourinho's like. He can suddenly spectacularly fall out with people. You know, that's just what happens, really.
We read last season, this time last year, that it was Lukaku's, very much Lukaku's decision to go to Everton. He didn't want to sit on the bench. He didn't want to be a squad player. He wanted to play every game, and Everton offered him a chance to do that. I'm reading between the lines, but I imagine Mourinho said, okay, you can go on loan then and we'll see what happens next season.
Yeah.
And now he's brought in Diego Costa and they've said, and Lukaku's gone, well, that's it, I'm going on permanent.
Yeah. But, I mean, big old fee for him, was it 28 million?
Yeah, but he's only 21.
Yeah, well, I'm saying Everton normally don't have money. I mean, obviously they got the deal for Fellaini.
And they've got his guy money as well.
But he's a proven performer for that team.
But
it's
good to
really
see.
Hard to not to
but
turn
he was
down,
a bit
really,
patchy, he got injured as well.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be better this year, though?
Well, at 21, with injuries and stuff, it's kind of like, at 21, are the injuries you're going to get for the rest of your career really even apparent at that point? You know, you could be a you can be crippled by the time you get to, like, 27, 28.
No, but I'm really pleased for Everton that they've got him, actually, because they have struggled to sign bigger players traditionally in recent years. And, you know, good that they've got Gareth Barron on a free. Obviously, it's a very different situation. But, yeah, he did play well largely for Everton. There was a few injuries, but they definitely wanted him back, and I'm glad that they had the cash to go and do that.
Well, Barry and...
Because it would have been a shame if that Everton had missed out. Yeah. Lukaku would have sat on the bench for Chelsea for a bit and clearly annoyed Mourinho or whatever would have gone on there. So good for Everton, and they can to use one of their neighbours' phrases, they can go again.
Yeah.
Because they had a good season last season.
And Barry and McCarthy were really good in the middle last season.
They were indeed. Yeah. They were indeed. I'm looking forward to Everton.
And Coleman and Baines, and they had a lot of good performers, a standout performers. They've got to kick on this year, Everton.
Jagielka, of course. Hopefully he can stay injury-free as well. So well done them. What about Newcastle United, Pete? A little bit busy in the old market.
Spent a lot of money, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Not a lot of money, but they're probably still at zero still after the past 5 years. But they've looked, the last two games, I think they struggled in that tournament they played in Germany against Mallorca and I forget the other team. Oh, Schalke.
Yeah.
I thought they played badly there, but... their last match they played at the weekend and the week before that, I thought they were excellent. Like, Riviere looks great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really, really solid.
How's
exciting
that
football.
Has their pre-season been good?
It's good. It's been patchy, I think. Rolando Ahrens, who's got signed, God, about a year and a half ago, I think, he started playing him in the what I felt was going to be Sami Amiobi's role on the left. but he rinsed some players in Germany. He's just so pacey and so direct.
Mm.
He's really exciting to watch. So, compared to, like, you know, how down everyone was at the back end of the season.
Yeah, sure. That was just ridiculous, wasn't it?
Don't they play Man City on the first day of the season?
Yeah, I mean, after the first weekend of the season.
Back in. Back in.
Yeah. But then, you know, Man City looked... didn't
fallible.
In the Community Shield. So.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. What about old...
Forest as well, let's not forget.
Yeah.
Who we signed, and then...
Stuart Pearce was angry.
Yeah, he was, and then we gave him back for a year, but we're still paying... Newcastle are still paying the wages, which is interesting.
Yeah.
That never happens.
That's true. Well. Southampton feel a bit annoyed at Liverpool for raiding them this season. There's not a few there.
They lost a lot of players. I mean, the problem is it snowballs, doesn't it? When one or two go, everyone wants to go.
Big Ronnie Koeman's in charge.
Yeah. Well, I don't think... I mean, of course, Koeman comes with a big reputation for what he's done in Holland, and of course he was a great player in international and club level, but I don't think it's a done deal that he's going to be good at in the Premier League. And of course, it doesn't help having the rug pulled out from under all these players being sold. I mean, they finally put their foot down with Schneider, didn't they? At time of recording, we don't know if that's going to develop any further. They signed, I think, Fraser Forster from Celtic, and they signed one or two others. It'll be difficult for them. It's going to be a real dogfight down the bottom this season. It's probably going to be about... I was looking at this earlier. It's probably going to be 10 teams who could potentially be...
You've immediately put Southampton in the bottom there.
You've got to put them in there.
Well, I don't know if you have to.
Whether I take joy out of it or not, and I do...
Thank you.
They haven't got long left to sign a lot of players, and everyone knows that they've got a bit of money in the bank, so it makes negotiations 10 times harder. Like, how much do you want for this player? 10 million. He's going, well, we're not going to pay that. He's going, yes, you are, because we know you've got 50 million in the bank and the Sky money.
That's right.
They've lost part of the lion's share of the spine of their team.
And ridiculous.
And then they've lost the standout youngsters as well.
Well, they've still got Ward-Prowse, a good player.
Yeah, I mean, God, he's not going to keep in the Premier League on his own, though, is he?
Oh, you never know. Never know.
You usually do.
Can Rio Ferdinand keep QPR in the Premier League? He's gone to QPR, of course. What did I say? Did I say QPR?
Yeah, you said
QPR. Oh, I did got it right. Sorry. Stephen Corker and Jordan Mutchford have gone there. Anton Ferdinand signed for Reading.
That was a weird one. Didn't he got a police... what are they called? The Thai side.
Did he?
Police United.
Yeah, Police United.
I thought you meant going to say Police Machine.
Well, the guy who owns Police United also owns Reading, doesn't he? So.
Oh, okay.
So there was, like, Anna Fanner saying, I am not signing for Police United. Oh, God.
Both Ferdinands will be playing in blue and white hoops this season.
Yeah.
I quite like that. That was the only point I wanted to make on that. Glenn Hoddle.
Primary colours.
Glenn Hoddle has reportedly been brought into Harry Redknapp's backroom staff to help with the implementation of a 3-5-2 system down at QPR. Hoddle, big fan of that system. He's used it at a number of previous
Ferdinand
clubs.
Ferdinand the sweeper and Clint Hill and Corker.
Yes.
That'd be good.
I think that's all
Ferdinand
right.
can stay fit, that'd be good.
But, I mean, is this just another example of Redknapp refusing to do work?
Well, probably, yeah.
He's like, why don't we change the system? Okay, 3-5-2. Right. Do any of you know? Oh, who's good at that? Hoddle?
Yeah. Who was good at that in the 90s?
Sandra, get the file of facts out. Get my little black book out.
Who was that fella on the telly in the summer with the air? Game on. He was talking about 3-5-2 all the time on TV.
I'm damned if I'm breaking my Monday and Thursday shifts here.
What I like about it, it's just kind of like, if we can spend money, he will. Like, if he can spend money, to bring someone in.
But can I get you to play sweeper? Hoddle.
QPR,
go on, Glenn.
QPR are down to the bare bones, that's the problem. They've only got, I think they've got 42 first team players in their squad.
Oh dear. They've got not too bad a start compared to some of the other newly promoted sides or the other two. Well, come on, say home to Hull, away to Spurs, home to Sunderland, away to Manchester United. But Leicester, home to Everton, away to Chelsea, home to Arsenal, away to Stoke, home to Manchester United, then away to Crystal Palace. Could be October before they pick up a point. I mean, hopefully not, you know.
I really like that Leicester have signed Ojoa, because I think he'll be good in the Premier League.
Yeah,
formerly strong Brighton. And good in the end. I think he'll he'll take chances. And actually, him, Vardy, who's not really found a level beyond him yet.
Yeah.
He's rapido quick as And Nugent, who clearly scored a lot of goals last season.
Of course.
Between those three, rotating them around, I don't know how he'll do it. I imagine he'll want to play two up front, certainly at home.
Europa League.
They've got a tough start. The problem with the promoted side is, you get a tough start. If they find themselves getting 2 points out of those first six games, it's really hard to get away.
But you'd rather would you rather a tough start than a tough finish?
I'd rather a tough finish,
probably.
Would you?
I think I would have tough middle. I prefer the hard games sprinkled liberally amongst all the easy ones. There are no easy games at this level, Mark.
As we know. Well, quickly then to Burnley. They've signed some Premier League experience. Michael Keightley on loan from Stoke. Matt Jilks.
Bad Premier League.
Marvin sort of. Matt Taylor. Stephen Reid.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So,
I mean, I've got experience of an A-level computer science exam, but it's not experience I really want to revisit.
All right, show off.
Not all of us.
Have you? My goodness. But let's go to the Championship, because that actually...
The point is, Burnley, just quickly, experience they've signed isn't like a Hall of Fame list of Premier League greats.
Experience, nevertheless. But we do look very much to the Premier League starting next
week.
You've
played in the Premier League, haven't you? Yeah, lost every game.
Next week. You've played
in the Premier League, though.
I do like the idea of you looking at the syllabus going, yes, computer science is the future.
That's what it was. And you know in the exam when they say, we don't understand the question, don't worry about it, move on to the next one. Got to the end.
5 minutes.
I'm finished.
I'm off.
10 minutes into this.
Good point about that is, though, once you are finished, you can just go.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Never have to sit here the word C plus.
Yeah.
Or the assembly language again.
Yeah, and the rest of the afternoon was your own.
Yeah.
Time well spent. On to the Championship. It's underway. The most exciting league, the most envied league for me, the Championship, because it's the most exciting.
Yeah, it's great.
I
saw Blackburn Cardiff City and well enjoyed it.
Well, the opening fixture of the Championship season. Kevin Jones opened the scoring. Pete's already referenced that.
Exciting.
Tom Kearney with a lovely equaliser.
Let's talk about Paul Robinson's goalkeeper kit.
Go on in.
He looks, I'm a man who knows about this sort of thing.
I'm glad you brought this up.
He looks about 2 stone overweight, and that colour of that kit is not factored in the keeper they've got. That's the problem. I thought we're going to have a pink/purple kit.
Yeah.
But your keeper's Paul Robinson. It looks ridiculous.
Yeah, you want dark colours.
Yeah, get him a black sort of navy blue. Slimming. Obviously, you can't have a similar one to the blue and white, but at least get him some sort
Can
of
you
like...
imagine the manager? Yeah. If he's like, the new kits are parading. Have you seen the size of him? Can we get him in a navy?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. It's your job to keep him fit. What are you...
He was like Barney the dinosaur.
Don't ever go at the kit creator.
The only thing I can think of is that Paul Robinson is not taking being a professional athlete seriously.
The designer of the kit going, you definitely stipulated an athlete was going to be wearing this. You definitely said you wanted a clause for a fit athletic man.
I love that Paul Robinson, as the goalkeeper of that team, feels exactly the same as every sort of overweight late 30s bloke who has to wear a replica kit because he bought it for Christmas.
Can we get Giacomo to make our kits, please?
the Blackburn kit, it's a lighter shade of blue.
Yeah, it is. It's lighter this season.
I'm not sure about that. But the match ended 1-1, because you're interested.
Kenny's goal was a beauty.
Yeah, go on then, yeah.
I thought Blackburn played quite well. I thought they had that. And I liked Bowyer's... Bowyer Boyer? I don't know how to pronounce
it. Gary Bowyer, yeah.
Yeah, Gary Bowyer.
I liked his post-match interview where he was being a bit cheeky. He was going sort of, did you think it was a penalty? To like the interview. And I think it was local press.
Flipped it on you.
Because the press went, he went, well, I am biased, so yes, I thought it was a penalty. And he went,
oh.
he said, you might be able to tell me thanks to your angles. It was really wrong. He appeared to be wearing a Manchester United replica shirt as well, which is really confusing.
That's very strange. What, Paul Robinson? Yeah, that underneath.
Paul Robinson, a man who found real ale love in the summer.
Paul Robinson, just as a disclaimer, Paul Robinson, if you were wearing 14 layers for that game, I apologise.
Oh dear, what about Bournemouth? What a start, big Eddie Howe's men. 4-0 away to Huddersfield.
Sack race is over already.
Yeah, Mark Robinson. sorry, Robbins rather.
One match in. I mean, like.
Well, it left by mutual consent. That's like, are you going to sack me? Yeah, I think you should. So, mutual consent, fine.
Bearing in mind like, what the state that club was in when he joined, it was kind of like, you kept them in the
championship. He's been there for 18 months, yeah.
He kept them in the championship twice. Yeah. I mean, they went sort of, they arguably went backwards last season.
They, they get hammered first of the season. Oh, I cut me off for this again.
How terribly frustrating, though. Do that pre-season.
You know what mutual consent is really is? Right, we're going to fire you. I agree. Mutual consent. That's how you get it.
Do you get the payoff though if you do that?
I don't know.
Well, you don't know. You don't know what the agreement was, Pete.
I think it's just going quietly, isn't it?
But Robbins had this reputation as being like a really good sort of rescue manager
and rescue player.
He rescued
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Exactly. He rescued or saved Rotherham from relegation. Mm. Then he went to Barnsley. And because he did so well at Barnsley, he got a job at Coventry. And then I think he left Coventry. So he went Barnsley, then he left Barnsley. He went to Coventry, and the Coventry job he did there under such difficult circumstances that he got the Huddersfield Town job.
Right.
And then he saved them 1 year. And then the next year, as you said, he kept them up again, but they had a lower point.
So do you think they thought, are we setting the grounds again for him to save us? So he's going to get us like down the bottom.
I can only manage if we're in the relegation zone most of the time.
Are you going to do that this season as well? Oh, we've got to get him out the first game.
But the thing is, Bournemouth are a good team. I mean, of course, you got beat 4-0 at home, but it's the first day of the season.
It's a poor start. Isn't it? He just turns up when somebody's been shot.
When needed, yeah.
But it's like Harvey
Keitel. Can break him back.
But it's like Harvey Keitel in general. I mean, he's a brilliant little supporting actor. Little. So, you know, to do a cameo supporting actor or another. You couldn't have him as the main actor, really, could you?
Yeah, you could.
Could you?
Yeah.
Lieutenant.
He tends not to be. Yeah, of course you could. No, but he tends not to be.
Was he the 2GX or that was Nicholson and Nicholson and?
What I'm saying is, don't have Mark Robbins in charge for a whole season. Has him as best supporting manager.
He's a troubleshooter. Best supporting manager. I mean,
Dave Bassett would have won that a few times.
If he has left,
not the main guy though.
If he has left, leave it. Yeah. If he has left, then
shut up.
Obviously, his decision. But I mean, otherwise, it seems like a very strange one because a new manager is going to have to come in. They've got a hell of a job in their hands now.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
Indeed.
It was nice to see Brentford up in the Championship. I mean, I knew that was going to happen.
I genuinely thought you were going to say up in this bitch. I don't know why.
Shout out to Brentford up in this bitch.
Yeah, no, I've not changed that much.
No.
The Californian air didn't quite get to me as much as maybe one would like.
California, Marcus.
It's the first time I've been in the Championship for ages, isn't it?
21 years.
21 years.
Good to see Tommy Smith. He's got a 34-year-old winger.
Yeah. Not really a winger, not really a traditional winger, is he?
No. But still, he likes to go out wide every now and then.
Yeah. He hugs the touchline because he's tired. In the same way, boxers hug each other.
physically hugging it like a duvet and a hangover.
Yeah, but it was good to see in a London derby as well
to get things going.
Yeah. Steve Evans' newly promoted side, Rotherham, were unlucky not to get something against Derby. A tough away trip to start with.
Welcome to big school. Derby are one of the better teams in the Championship, aren't they? Actually, not even. It's not a Premier. Welcome to
middle school.
Welcome to Derby. Yeah. Welcome to the East Midlands.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Derby. I mean, it was a good win. They've got serious.
It's Derby's West Midlands, isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
East Midlands.
Yeah, it's in Nuneaton.
Yes,
Coventry.
In sort of Nottingham kind of way. Big rivalry they've got with the Forests. Are we still on? Derby. I mean, they've got serious ambition going up.
And rightly so. I mean, if they're looking to improve,
they will be gutted.
Has McLaren
still from that
McLaren signed a new contract?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so yeah, they've got to put that behind.
And their bonus structure is all around going up. I don't think they're having too many win bonuses or anything like that. It's all get promoted. Right. And we'll all be the main players will be $500,000 richer. Do you know what I mean? Kind of thing. So, yeah, that's what obviously. And they've got to look at that. Yeah. So we'd look forward to seeing Derby. They were brilliant last season. Fulham, they started with a loss.
Well, I just don't really get what Felix Magath's all about.
Well, he's 8 debutants in a very young side.
So he came to England with a reputation as being a real disciplinarian who could whip teams into shape and really get Fulham going because they needed that. And he seems to have sort of descended into the guy who just plays youth team players all the time for no reason.
Well, maybe, but the trouble was Fulham did have some ageing players that needed to move on. And perhaps he's not, I mean, my goodness, they've missed.
Sort of Ross McCormack.
Well, yeah.
But he was terrible, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, in that game, I mean, he was good last season.
He was, but the highlights I saw, I mean, Daryl Murphy's goal was a great one. He sort of bamboozled the defenders, blasted past him, didn't he?
Yeah.
But Russ McCormack, from what I saw anyway, didn't make any
look
impression.
Compared to Patrick Roberts, who really played very well.
The only one under 17 year old. They're getting younger.
He's one of those kind of really direct players that just kind of runs. And it's kind of you don't see that very often.
I mean, my hope for Fulham would be that they would grow into the season sooner rather than later. That he would try and play the young lads and get a little bit of experience in there and try it out, and soon enough it would get going, because they can't really afford to sort of be mid-table and not looking likely. A club like Fulham, you know, they could lose players, they could lose flipping ex-supporters even, for crying out loud. So it will be interesting, but a good win for Ipswich nonetheless. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going north of the border.
We're not even going to the SPL, are we? It's not called that anymore.
The Scottish Premiership. Well, we will do.
Not bothered about it, are we?
But it's not the main one.
Nah.
It's all about the Scottish Championship.
It started.
And my goodness, has it started. Yeah. Rangers 1, Hearts 2. The magnificent Gorgie boys.
What a finish.
What a win. What a win at Ibrox.
What a horrible match.
Scottish football's back.
It's finished off really nicely.
Scottish football's back. Yeah, indeed, yeah. Rangers, Hearts went 1-0. They equalised in injury time, but then So went up the other end and got a delightful winner.
Kenny Miller could have got an equaliser as well. Well,
he could have
end, and he fluffed it.
You can't take your eye off the ball.
Did you see the start where they unveiled that flag?
Yes, they always do that at Rangers.
But the flag, there was no wind in the stadium, so it was just this sort of wet fart
cloth.
Of the flag. It was terrible. It's like, look at this on his stick, and you couldn't tell what it was.
Next time they need to get a fan, a wind machine sort of underneath.
Yeah,
it, don't
I think
they
so. It'd be worth it. Yeah. Rubbish at flags, Rangers.
It's like in the thick of it, where the environment minister has to have a turbine on his roof.
Is that right?
But there's no wind, so he has to power it by electricity. So it's actually costing more money, it costs the environment, and all the flags around are just down. Just
excellent.
Going to
that wasn't the only great thing that happened in the Scottish Championship. Hibs beat
it
Livingston.
It's chock-a-block as usual.
Oh, come on, that's
Kenny Miller missing a set of horrible
Hibs beat
match.
Hibs beat Livingston 2-1, right?
Only weekend of the season in Scotland, the only weekend where it's sunny.
Right, yeah. Mark Oxley, he got the winner for Hibs. Why is that so big?
Goalkeeper.
He's the goalkeeper.
Why didn't he celebrate? Why don't keepers ever celebrate when they score?
Because they don't know how to.
Is it because of empathy with the other keeper?
Yeah.
I hate that happened to me.
It was a kick out.
If a defender's never not celebrated,
I think if he came up for a corner and nodded one in, he would celebrate, because that's a fair goal. But he's from a kick out, that shouldn't be going
but
in.
But what I'm saying is, if a defender goes up for a set piece and towers over another defender and heads it in, he still celebrates.
Yeah, but that's.
He doesn't think about the other defender.
Yeah. Is there a defender's union? Because there's a goalkeeper's one.
Yeah. You have to be a bit crazy to be a goalkeeper.
Yeah, if you remember being
there's
a goalkeeper.
Why you got it on union, Lou! That's a reason!
If you remember the goalkeeper's union, you weren't in the goalkeeper's union,
right.
And all that sort of crap. In the Scottish Premiership, though, Dundee United, they won 3-0 away to Aberdeen, and they've zoomed to the top of the league.
Stop adding in words that does not reflect what happened. Nobody zooms anywhere. They crawl.
Oi,
like
they're
a zombie trying to escape his own grave.
They're handsomely
slowly,
top of the table. Celtic,
table.
3 points below them, because they didn't play.
They were busy. They were busy in their.
They're busy
exertions.
Replying to Polish letters.
Busy doing really good admin.
Well, Celtic, they're due to play Maribor in the next preliminary round for the Champions League qualification, despite being beaten by Legia Warsaw 6-1 on aggregate in the previous qualifier.
I mean, that is a tanking.
It really is. Well, that's why Legia are trying their luck. They fielded an ineligible player who came on for the last 4 minutes
that's
of the second leg.
They've had a nightmare.
Did he play?
No, just the last 4 minutes.
Play?
I was a sub.
Did he come on?
Yeah, just.
Did he play?
Yeah.
Did not count?
No, I never gave an opinion.
Were you doing 36
I changed
to 30 miles an hour's on, yes.
Yeah. Then I just changed the tone of my voice, but I didn't, you know. Can't convict me, Your Honour, is what I'd say. But Legia was subsequently kicked out. Of course, Celtic have gone through. They will be playing Maribor, as I've said. The club thought the player in question was clear to play, Legia, that is, but the registration form was filled out incorrectly. Now, they feel that they've been hard done by with this. Clearly, they've hammered Celtic. They think to themselves, they should be going through. So Legia's co-owner wrote to Celtic asking for a meeting. The letter, did you read it? It fawned all over Celtic's history.
That's one of the most... historically successful team.
He was using words like beautiful and all this kind of thing. It was just unbelievable. And he basically battered them up
with
to the point of
the world, I will give you a blowy.
I'd love it.
It just stopped short of that.
I'd love it if Sergeant Vopal let it back saying, get a fuck.
Well, they said that, but
are
nicely.
You talking shite again.
Well, the letter ended by saying, I call on you to act according to the spirit of the game and rules of fair play. You are the ones that broke the rules. To issue a joint statement to UEFA disciplinary bodies. Let's meet in Warsaw or Glasgow. Well, Glasgow, mate, you go to them.
We're not meeting.
And settle this matter honourably. Yeah. I just, the gall of the man. You'd meet him, wouldn't you? Just so you could go, no. Do you come to Glasgow? Hi, how you doing? It's still a no.
But it's the act of a really desperate man, isn't it? Like, it's already cost him. What did it cost him? 1.7 million already to get through to the game against Maribor.
Yeah.
If they get past Maribor,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure they go into the group stage.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be tens of millions
of
pounds.
Oh, yeah. They realised he was the one that filled out the form, wasn't he?
Come to Warsaw, show us how to right click save us.
I'd reply, were you the one that said it was okay for him to play?
Yeah. But if Celtic go out against Maribor, that guy. To listen to emails around to everyone at Legion of Warsaw going, they're a great side, that Maribor, aren't they? There is no chance we've got past there. Not a chance.
I like to think in the admin office of Legion Warsaw, there's been some stink bombs let off when they found out. So just let off stink bombs. No, I've just realised that I've fucked everything up and I've shat myself.
It's an admin stink bomb.
Oh dear, but yeah, so there we are. We look forward to some more Scottish capers. Well, that's more of a Polish one really, but you know, as the season goes on. What else we got? Continental Europe, these leagues are not underway yet.
No.
So we're not going to talk about them.
Clear.
South America, we're going to go there briefly. Now,
where they speak Argentinian.
They do, they speak Brazilian as well, and Chilean, and all the other aliens. People thought Brazil had taken a step back with Phil Scolari in charge, and obviously their World Cup campaign ended in disgrace.
Back. Hey? What about this?
Well, Dunga's in charge now. What, Phil Scolari, he put us out. Who was the guy in the previous World Cup? We did a quarterfinals. Get him back.
Yeah.
Who's the guy with the we want to play haircut. Beautiful football. We want to play the Brazil way.
We want a manager with a roll neck.
We can't. Flat top and his daughter's clothes. If that isn't a step back, I don't know what it is.
That's how far they saw.
His daughter's clothes.
We are legitimately laughing at Brazilian national team football. That's how far they've sunk.
Oh
elegance.
Dear.
This is going to make its way back to Brazil, and they're going to go, English people are laughing at us.
You invented that haircut.
Man. Well, let's go back to Diego Corna. Because he said he's thrown his hat into the ring for the national team job, or has he, Pete?
I don't know.
Well, he's commenting on Dunga. He said the team has no coach. Right, so he knows the positions available in that sense. Good. I played for Argentina, so he's got experience on the field.
If you don't know there's a vacancy, it's very hard to get a job. I would agree with that.
He said, if Brazil called Dunga, why didn't Argentina call me?
So that's why Brazil have done it.
Yeah, it's like 2010 again. Yeah.
That's like saying Andy Linnigan played for Arsenal, so why can't I play for Arsenal? Because I'm from Hartlepool as well.
Well, what I love is he said, why didn't Argentina call me? Anyway, I'm happy in Dubai and I don't have to kneel before anyone. So you've... do you want the job or not,
you
Diego?
You started this, Diego. Again, you called us.
Don't slap me. Yeah. Anyway, now it's time for Pete's new game.
It's Pete's new game.
Oh, no.
Did we think up of a name? I can't remember.
Right.
Basically, you will have experienced something before like this. It is...
groundbreaking.
It is Peter's Mystery Voice Competition. I play you a short clip of a man talking, or woman, involved in football. Probably going to be a man, because there's like 99% of them are men. And you guys have got to guess who it is speaking.
And how do they enter?
They enter by emailing short@thefootballramble.com.
With Mystery Voice in the title.
In the subject title. Make sure you do that.
And Pete, I can't wait for this. What do they win if they get it right?
They don't win anything but the respect and adulation of our good selves.
Do they become a friend of the Ramble?
Yes. Yeah, you become a friend of the Ramble.
Fine, and good. We'll put that one up later.
Hashtag friend of the Ramble after all your tweets to us.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can legally put that. It's like getting a little blue tick on your Twitter. Yeah. You get to put legitimate friend of the Ramble. Yeah. L-F-O-R.
Right.
Lafour.
L-F-O-T-R.
Yes.
Yeah. Get on with it.
But then it's a bit of Lord of the Rings.
Come on.
Play it.
Right, this is a clip. I'm fairly... I'm scared. I'm going to have to edit this when it goes into the actual show itself, because I'm playing it off a laptop so that these guys can hear it.
Yeah, okay. But if I don't get it this week, it's going to roll over to next week, because it will play it again.
Yeah, and okay. If it doesn't go this week, it rolls to next
week. Make sure
we
you get it. That'll be annoying.
If we can't get it. I mean, you guys aren't allowed to get involved.
No.
It's just going to be interesting to see. Yeah, okay.
Looks to be a great evening. I think the weather's great. Pitch looks great. I'm certainly the atmosphere will be great. And I'm looking forward to a great result as well.
Wow, that is hard.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it might be quite
saucy.
Tough.
I'm not going to give you any clues at the moment, and I don't think I'm going to go ahead and give you any clues. But it's going to be exciting to see if anybody can pick that one out. He played for a big club.
Oh, you just said you're not going to give any clues.
Played for a big club.
Okay, fine. That's what we need to know.
So there's a clue.
Cool.
Yeah, well, so we're going to get involved. Show@thefootballramble.com and with the subject title Mystery Voice. Yeah.
Mystery Voice.
I've got something here where you can actually win something good.
Yes, yes.
So not to outdo Pete's game.
No,
Pete's game is important, you know. And
in its own small way,
it's under contract, you know. And you know, it's the right, it's the right quiz for the job at the moment.
It's the Luke Shaw of quizzes.
But as you know, we're doing an ongoing affiliation with Betfair. Betfair.com/footballramble. But from this season, on a monthly basis, if you sign up to betfair.com/footballramble and deposit £5 or more into your Betfair account, but you have to sign up through that link, you will be eligible for the draw at the end of each month where you can win Pete Donaldson.
Oh!
A PlayStation 4 and FIFA 15.
That is good.
That's a good prize.
I thought you meant you can win Pete Donaldson there for a minute. I thought, hang on.
We're going to give one of those away every month, aren't we?
Well, we're going to try. We're going to try certainly for the first couple of months, and then we might change prizes, we might stop the prizes. But for now, if you sign up within the next month or so,
you'll be eligible to win
a PlayStation 4 and a copy of FIFA 15, which comes out mid-September.
Next month. Yeah, okay. So that's betfair.com/footballramble.
Quite a surprise. That's a good prize then.
We'll follow that up on the Twitter, just to remind you.
Well done.
Have you seen the new FIFA 15, by the way?
No.
It's got all of the Premier League grounds.
Oh,
nice.
Which is really nice.
We like that.
Nice licensing, guys.
Yeah,
what
do
you think of their licensing skills these days, Paul?
It's just nice to see Selhurst Park represented on the big stage.
Yeah.
Savage agrees.
Right, now it's time for your highlights of the footballing week with Luke Moore.
Slight amendment again for this week's show.
Wow.
For this season's show, I should say. We're not doing our question of the week. We're just going to do every week, get into the habit, tweet us your highlights of the week, and we'll read out the best tweets and Facebooks every show. So first of all, this week, I'm going to go straight to Tom Sausage on Twitter, who
said... Sausage?
Sausage.
Oh.
Could be mispronounced as sausage.
it's probably Russian for sausage.
His highlight of the week is Yaya Sanogo showing that he is the Yaya the Premier League deserves.
Yeah.
And all other Yayas are pretenders to his throne.
Good.
Yeah. I take it that's a reference to his pre-season game, not his charity shield effort.
Community.
Yeah, community shield.
That's how corporate football is now. No charity involved, not even in name.
It's for the community. Jay Waters Esquire, Jack Waters 9 on Twitter. Norwich City smashing into the championship like a rocket smashing into the ozone layer, assaulting the ref, being racist and losing. Bam.
Horrendous
some
stuff.
Some contribution there. Some would think that would have made it into the main part of the show.
No. We knew he was going to mention it.
We didn't talk about Blackpool.
this is a nice one from... I've plenty of time to talk about Blackpool this season.
Can I give my favourite bit of the season?
Well, do it at the end.
Don't worry.
Joe Lynch is saying that he thinks it's nice that whole city are playing their first ever European game. So
that
stuff
is nice. You've got about an hour to talk, Pete. These people have just got this.
Wait. See what you're saying, Joe Lynch, but it's just a preliminary qualifying round, mate, so not really worth talking about.
It's a European game. Leave off.
What else have we got here? Paul Reed, the whole Leeds United pre-season, the team not showing up, and now players have to bring their own packed lunch to training.
Incredible.
That shouldn't be funny, but it is. No, it's not funny. Football Manager, the actual game Football Manager, tweeted saying, the announcement of Football Manager in 15 is coming in November, obviously. And Sam Jordan replied, they're not going to mention that since Pete Donaldson was dropped from the voiceover gig.
Well, are you back in, reads him out.
Are you back in or not?
Why would I be back in?
You got that gig on that again, though.
Stop talking about that gig.
I've got others, fine.
Yeah.
Last one, okay. Big Sam this is from James Knight. Sam responding to Andy Carroll's injury by Googling tall strikers and bidding for every single person on the page. He did it.
Lovely old job. Pete.
My favourite bit was the roar of the crowd when Stuart Pearce walks through the tunnel and out.
Big reception.
Incredible.
Yeah. Big reception.
Genuine goosebumps.
A big reception
wonderful.
for who is what is genuinely quite a poor manager. Hope he does well for Forest, though. He's a legend there, and it'd be horrible for him to slack all over his, over his record.
Yeah, I mean, it's taken him this long to take that job. He's had opportunities before, and now he's at a low ebb, let's say.
He could have taken it when they were just about knocking on the door of the playoffs last season, but he said no, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, nothing to lose.
Maybe it was personal reasons, I'm not sure.
Right, yeah, fair enough.
Who knows? That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We did it. We've got there.
We're back in the season. Back in the habit.
What more ever? Back in the habit.
How long was that one, Pete?
I don't know.
Over an hour.
Over an hour, mate.
Yeah, don't worry. It'll come up on their little MP3 players and computers and other electronic devices. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to get in touch, the email is show@thefootballramble.com. The Twitter is @footballramble, and the website is thefootballramble.com. Remember the competition, Pete's mystery voiceover competition. Oh, mystery voice, sorry, not voiceover.
You can't get a voiceover.
Yeah, where's he going to pop up next? So yeah, get your emails in for that with the subject line, with the subject
line.
Don't
forget betfair.com/footballramble to set up an account, deposit £5, and take your chance to win a PS4 and FIFA 15.
There we are.
We're actually physically going to have to buy that ourselves, so it will be touched by our very hands.
There you go.
Well, there we are.
But meaning it won't turn up.
I don't buy a computer games.
Say goodbye.
Big man. Big man on campus. I don't buy computer games.
Yeah, way too busy reading and watching loads of documentaries.
Say goodbye, Luke. Consuming salt.
Come on.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, listeners.
And it's goodbye from me, darling.
It's right season. Go fuck yourselves.
Lovely to have you back.
Up, down, left, right, A, B. Start.
Pitch looks great. I'm certainly the atmosphere will be great, and I'm looking forward to a great result as well.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.